The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Well, Lord, bless you all this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your praise and worship. You know, it's not on how many people are in church. There only needs to be one, and that's Jesus Christ. And I believe that he was healed here this morning, and he touched our hearts. He certainly touched mine. And I thank Roe and his team for leading us into his presence this morning. My sermon title for this morning is, Where Does a Misfit Fit? Sometimes we go to the movies, we buy a $10 ticket to go in and look at something we think was good. We spend another $30 on popcorn and cold drinks, and we sit down and we're in the program, in the theater for about 10 minutes before something pops up that we just don't belong there. We just don't fit in that circumstances. We hear words on television, that we don't want to hear, and we change the channels. We see images we don't want to see, and we change the channels. In public, we hear people using words and telling profane stories that we just don't want to be a part of. It just offends us. It hurts us. It hurts our heart. And I think as believers, it often hurts our hearts for them. It hurts our hearts for them because we realize that they're not living of the fullness of life that it could be. And it seems like sometimes we just don't fit. So where do we fit? There must be a place that we fit. And this morning I want to talk about the kingdom of God. That, friends, is where we fit. We don't talk about the kingdom of God very often, but I want to let you know, it's real. The kingdom of God, I want to live personally. These are my declarations. I want to live a life, I want to live my life as a full-fledged citizen of the kingdom of God. I want the world to know that Jesus is my Lord. I want the world to know that he is my priority in life, that I have no other priority except to serve him. When people see me coming, I want them to know that I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm not a misfit. I fit, but I don't necessarily fit in the kingdom of this world. I don't want to know where the borders of the kingdom of God are. Some people like to live their life seeing how close can I get to the edge before I fall off. I don't even know where the edge is. I don't want to be anywhere close to it. I want to be so dead center in the kingdom of God that I don't even know where the borders of that kingdom are. I want the kingdom of God to be my primary identity. I want people to see me coming and to know who he is. I have no opposing allegiances. I'm a citizen of the United States, and I'm very proud of that. I'm a minister with the Assemblies of God, and I'm very proud of that. I'm a dad and a grandpa, and I'm going to be, hold your hat, you ready? I'm going to be a great grandpa. You know what I'm telling you? Those are all points of identification for us that I'm proud of every one of them. But not one of those, including being grandpapa, is more important than being a citizen of the kingdom of God. If there's any good in me at all, I give God the glory because I'm redeemed and renewed by him. And if there's any unregenerated part of me, if there's any evil left in me, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, I submit that to Christ, that he may be able to help me to get over that malady in my own life. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, and here's an interesting thing. When I was doing my research for the kingdom of God, that phrase, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, does not show up in the Old Testament. Jesus was the first. After he was baptized, he was the first to start talking about the kingdom of God. It was new. It was different. In the Old Testament, we read about the kingdom of Israel. We read about the kings. And we read about God, Father Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. Jacob. We read about those things in the Old Testament, and it's almost like it was a man-made kingdom, and perhaps it was, because as you remember, the people wanted a king, and God says, I'm your king, I'm your leader. And they said, no, we want one we can touch, and they gave him Saul. And Saul was the king, and it seemed like there were a nation of people who were following after God, but not a nation of God's people. It seemed like it was a little different. Many of their prayers were asking God to intervene and to change the natural course of events. Lord, give us victory in this battle. Lord, help us with this. And sometimes God's response was a flood. Sometimes God's response was the fire and brimstone in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sometimes God's response was to win a battle or lose a battle. But it wasn't the part of the kingdom of God. And perhaps, maybe, try this. Maybe a modern-day parallel is the United States. When we say the United States is a Christian nation, the United States is an organization of man founded and based on Judeo-Christian principles. The people who wrote the papers, the people who made it happen, were Christian people. Their thinking was Christian. Their motives were Christian. They wanted to raise up the name of Jesus in all that they did. But they created a government. They did not create the kingdom of God. There's without a doubt a clear reflection of the Judeo-Christian principles and of the belief of these men in all of our documents. You know, every year at the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast in January, we read the prayers in the documents of these great men who were clearly men of God, who prayed and asked for God's mercy and guidance in life. There was one of our leaders, maybe it was Thomas Jefferson, Morris would know for sure, I'm not remembering, but he said this land would not survive if it were not a moral and a godly nation. But yet, it's not a Christian nation. It's not an unchristian. It's a nation of Christians. We're here. The U.S. is not a theocracy. It's a democracy. We elect our leaders and we influence the government all that we can. We're a nation of Christians where many of our laws are based on a traditional Christian. And I say many of our laws because you and I both know that there are laws now that do not please God. The way we treat abortion, homosexual agendas, these are not of God, but yet they're part of the rules and the laws of our nation. The United States is not the kingdom of God. However, there is a place called the kingdom of God where Jesus is Lord and he is the master of all that happens. It's a spiritual kingdom in which God rules in the hearts of every believer. It's an invisible spiritual kingdom. You can't go out and touch it. You can't see it. And the entrance way to the kingdom is to be a born-again believer. That's how you enter into the kingdom of God, is to be a born-again believer. And we were singing of Jesus. He's our everything. He's our all. He saved our soul so that we could be a part of the kingdom of God. When Jesus was on the earth, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's a separate place. It's a place that we can be a part of. And Jesus said, it's not of this world. It's of somewhere else. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, he said he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And he answered them saying, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See, it's here,' or 'See, it's there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Denise and I have had the privilege to live in many countries of the world and to visit many countries of the world. And I want you to know, when you meet people that are Christian, even though you don't speak the same language, you know. The love is there. The care is there. The wanting to be a part of somebody's life, the burden of somebody, the sin in somebody's life, it's there. The kingdom of God transcends language barriers. It transcends borders. It transcends denominations. How can we fellowship with other people who call themselves Christian? And the answer is, it's very easy. All of those things that we perceive to be differences, if you examine them carefully, they're no more than differences in practice. There's no difference in belief. They believe that Jesus saves their soul. Whether they pursue it as a matter of works, whether they pursue it as a matter of grace, as a matter of love, as a matter of liturgy, it doesn't make any difference. It's how they feel like they can love the Lord and show themselves to them. What joins us together is that we're members of the kingdom of God. Born again believers. That's what makes us one. Amen?
Amen.
At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he came to show us something better. A better way. Jesus came to Galilee in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. It says, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Many of the leaders at that time saw Jesus' kingdom as a rival kingdom. Even King Herod, when the wise men came looking for the king of the Jews, he saw it as a rival, and he took action to wipe out babies who could possibly be the king of the Jews during that time. And Jesus and his family fled to Egypt to avoid that from Herod. They were looking for a physical kingdom. They were looking for a kingdom like the kingdoms that we know of this world. But it wasn't that. Some of the Pharisees were combatants. If you remember the many, many times that the Pharisees were trying to trip Jesus up, they would ask him questions and get him to say something that wasn't exactly right. They were trying to find fault with him. They were trying to call him a rebel. They were trying to say he was undermining the faith. But in reality, Jesus did not come as a combatant. The Pharisees were combatants, but he wasn't. But there was a few who wanted to know more. And one of those few was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to Jesus in the cover of night in John chapter 3. And he says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God. He knew that this was what Jesus was saying were good and godly and hopeful and helpful things. And he said, and Jesus answered him saying, most assuredly, which is to say, you're exactly right about that. I do come from God. And I say to you that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus talks about being born again physically. He said, how does that happen? And in verse 5 says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our spirit is drawn to the kingdom of God. We are drawn to each other. Why do you get up on Sunday morning and come here? Because you want to be with people like you. You're drawn to the Spirit of God that lives in each one of us. When you're here, the church is not the kingdom of God. It's much bigger than that. But we're like a chapter of the kingdom of God because we come together to encourage each other and to help each other and to see, this is the best we can see of what the kingdom of God is, what's happening right here, right now. Our first birth, that which we experience as babies, is born into corruption. It's born into the sinful part of the world. Our default position, where do you belong first? You don't belong to the kingdom of God first. You first belong to this world, to the physical world. But there's this other world that we have to make a decision about. John 3, chapter 3, verses 14 to 17 says this. And this explains the why, I believe, of the kingdom of God. The why and the how. It says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He, whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. That's being born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that through the world but that the world through him might be saved. I want to focus on the last part of that, that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to offer us a better way. I don't find anything in Scripture. There's a contest that goes on between Satan and the goodness of the Lord. There's a contest that goes on all the time, and I recognize that contest. But Jesus didn't come to destroy the physical world that we're born into. He came not to condemn it, but to offer us a better place, a place of refuge, a place where those of us who are the born-again misfits can fit in. He didn't come to say, don't do this and don't do that. He instead came to say, come. Come and see. Come and taste. Come and know. Come and be a part of the better part of life. And of this kingdom, you and I are simply ambassadors. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God to rescue those around us who need to be rescued. Not to condemn what's going on in this world, because this is the world outside of this church. It's a deceitful thing. There are lies and contests. You can just look at the news every day and see the name-calling and the ugliness and the bitterness. Those are not the things of the kingdom of God. And as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, it's good for you and I to help rescue people. If they're born again, they'll be citizens. The word says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood in this world. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against each other. We're not condemning each other. We're not to argue with each other. He said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is your neighbor. Flesh and blood is people that you work with. Flesh and blood is people at in school or all the different places that we go. He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's what we wrestle against. We wrestle against the enemy and his works to rescue people, to rescue ourselves, so that we find a better place to be. And of course, we can see it's a choice. It's a choice whether we stay in our misery and we stay in the things of this world, whether we condone the things of this world, or whether we simply look for a better life in the kingdom of God. As I was studying this out, I realized that in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, there are no phrases that define a place called the kingdom of God. But in the New Testament, there's 77 places where mostly Jesus, but also the other writers of the Bible, talk about the kingdom of God. And it's a magnificent place to be. And I'd like to take a minute this morning just to address some of the places of the kingdom of God. It says that the kingdom of God is a place of sufficiency. This better place that Jesus is calling us out of this world where we're always competing for stuff. Who's got the best toys? Who's got the biggest house? Who's got the most money? Who's got the best haircut? I do, of course. Oh, we're always competing and looking. That's the things of the world. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things that we struggle for, all these things that we think are so important, all these things that we add to our life, it said all these things will be added to you. I don't need anything. I don't need anything because I'm trusting in the Lord. The kingdom of God has provided everything I need. In America, we're a rich people. The poorest of us here in this room today, the poorest people you know, are probably more wealthy than many people who live in this world today. God takes care of his children. God provides for his children. One of the jobs that we work with is the faith-based liaison for the Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. This is the group that coordinates and works with all of the churches and the Christian organizations in an event of a disaster. There are millions and millions and millions of dollars being poured into the needs of people by a loving Christian community. When we went to Albania, many of the people said, why would you come to Albania? Why would you come over here? Said, to bring the love of Christ. You know, we the kingdom of God provides everything that you need. There's a joy that resides deep inside of us. That's a part of the kingdom of God. God has rescued us from the soap opera of life. And for those of you who are soap opera fans, I'm sorry. He's rescued us from the soap opera of life to be able to live in a place of sufficiency. My mouth's not working as well as it could. A place of sufficiency. It's all a place of contentment, because the very next verse after that in Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about things of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We don't need to worry. We do, because I guess that's part of our human nature to worry. But we don't need to worry. We don't need to fret. We don't need to be depressed about what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. You know what the answer is? Being a citizen of the kingdom of God, the welfare program is incredible. God will give us peace. Do we need to be concerned? Yeah. Do we need to be diligent about the things in our life? Yeah. God gave us the call to do that. To worry about it and to fret about it? Nah. The kingdom of God is not a place of fretting and worry. The kingdom of God is a place of joy and encouragement and hope. The kingdom of God is a place where our dependency on Christ, we depend on Christ and nothing else. Scripture says in Matthew 19:23-24, Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing wrong with being rich. I guess there's nothing wrong with owning camels either. But he says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. The eye of the needle was a hole in the wall, a passageway for people to go through. And the only way a camel can go through that is on his knees. People who have a great wealth and who depend on their wealth at first. They may go to church, they may be a part of a community, but if their first hope is in their wealth and the things around them, it makes it difficult for them to be part of the kingdom of God, because God is not first. He calls us to put idols aside, to put things aside, and to put Him first. It doesn't say a rich man can't go to heaven. I'm sure there'll be plenty of rich people in heaven. But I can say that if those rich people didn't put their riches first. God trusted them. I often think about rich people, people who have a lot of money, who give their money away, who are philanthropists. You know, oftentimes it's like God said, I can trust you with this. I can trust you to give to those who need help. That's the function, I believe, often that God causes people to be rich. But for us to depend on our riches before we depend on Christ, our first call is not to our accountant. Our first call is to our pastor when we have difficulty and issues in our life. The kingdom of God can be the home for the humble and the broken and the dependent. In Matthew 21:31, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. You know, I have broken some things in my life that I can't fix. Done some things that I'm probably really not very proud of. And I guess maybe you have too. Things that you would like to have done differently. You know, it's folks like us to whom the kingdom of God belongs. People who've repented, people who understand their humanity, people who understand, and I've said this before, that each one of us, given the right circumstances, is no more than 24 hours away from the worst that you've ever been in your life. The right circumstances to provoke you, the right person saying just the wrong thing at the wrong time, every one of us can be provoked. It's people like us who have to depend on Jesus people like us who have to hold on with our fingernails and said, Lord, I need you. I trust you. Lord, help me. Help me to stay strong. Help me not to succumb to this threat on my soul that's out there. Scripture said that tax collectors and harlots, the low life of the community, the people, the ones that people looked down on and people cursed. Maybe we've been there. To us, to people like that, the kingdom of God is there. For those who repent, Mark 1:15, we've said this before, but the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel. It's up to you and I to live our life, a life of belief. And belief is not simply a mental assent. The belief that we're talking about here is a life where we live our life as though the things that we believe are true. Our first thought, when an ambulance goes down the street with the siren going on, what's your thought? Lord, I don't know what's going on, but help them, bless them. When we see something in the newspaper that a family's been burned out of their home, Lord, what's going on? What can I do to help? You know, if our thought is for other people, if our thought is to take care of other people, that's a part of the kingdom of God. We need to repent and believe and let our actions follow our belief. Let our belief be shown by our actions. Kingdom of God is for those who should be taken seriously. There's a scripture in Mark chapter 9. It says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two and be cast into hell's fire. This is not a scripture that says we need to physically harm ourselves in some way. We need to pluck out our eye. I'm not sure Jesus is not telling us here to go to be half blind. He's not asking us to do that. But what he is doing is showing us the seriousness of this. This is not just something we do on Sunday. This is just not something we do for other people to see. He said it is so serious. Following and becoming a part of the kingdom of God is so very serious that even if it takes to pluck out your eye to gain heaven, it would be worth it. It would be worth it. To sacrifice your riches, to sacrifice the things that, the worldly things are important. There's nothing more important in your life than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The kingdom of God is a place of innocence and submission to which we come in a childlike manner. Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 18, verse 16. Children are innocent. I love it when the children come up and says, hey, are you Mr. Bob? I said, yeah. I said, Mr. Bob, you're fat. You know, there's an innocence about children. They're transparent. They say it like it is. What you see is what you get. There's no pretending that you should be something else, because with a child, they know. They know. They tell the truth. And I used to have years and years and years ago, I was in the life insurance business, and I think I've told this story before. The general agent had a format for interviewing people to be agents. And what he did was, he would sit down and talk to you for about 20 minutes. And then he would say, excuse me, there's something I need to take care of. I'll be right back. And he'd leave the room, and the interviews were always at his home. And the children would come in. And the children would interact with the prospective agent. Then he would come back after some time, 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever was appropriate. Excuse me, I'm so sorry I had to leave. I've taken care of that. Let's continue the interview. He did that. After the interview left, the interview was over, he went to his children. What'd you think? Did you like the person? Could you relate to him? Did you understand what they tell you? If the person sat there with his arms folded, his legs crossed, and ignored the children, that was not a good sign. But if he interacted with the children, and the children loved him, if the children came to him, he would hire that person to be an agent. Children know. Children know. Children are open. Children are honest. Children will speak their mind. They're transparent. And in the kingdom of God, we need to do exactly the same thing. You know, it's okay to say, God, I don't get it. God, this is beyond my understanding. I just don't see how this could possibly be. And then let God explain it to you. Let him work with you to do that. To be like a child, to be able to tell the truth, to be able to ask the hard question, to ask why I'm fat. Do those things. But do them as a part of the kingdom of God. That's how he wants us to be. He wants us to be satisfied. He wants us to have all the stuff that we need. Don't worry about tomorrow. Come as children. Come in innocence. And Lord, I really don't need a new phone. My phone's probably going to work okay, but can I have one, please? Whatever your need is, whatever you're talking about, just to come as children, open and honest and willing to do it as God needs to do it. Luke 6:20. He lifted his eyes towards the disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Poor in spirit. Those who just don't feel like we've got all that we need to have. God, I'm not worthy to be a part of your kingdom. I'm not worthy to be a part of all that you've got. How could you pick me? How could you allow me to be a part of your kingdom? Father, I've got nothing. I've got nothing to add to the program. I love you, but Lord, you know I'm a weak person. I'm not a strong person. And for folks like us who claim our dependency upon him, the kingdom of God is ours. Because it goes back to the transparency. It goes back to what was there. And finally, I would like to tell you, in the kingdom of heaven, it's a good neighborhood. There are people who won't be there. And there's a list of these people. It doesn't mean they can't be there, but it means they aren't there as long as they're in this condition. Galatians 6:19-21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." The works of the flesh, the things of the world, the things that's all of the tricks that Satan uses to harm us, to tempt us, to bring us out of the kingdom of God, all of those things, or many of those things are listed here, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. And as I read this list, just let your mind go to the news in the afternoon when you're watching the news. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. On one hand, I want to tell you, in the kingdom of God, it's a good neighborhood. The people who will be there are not the ones I just listed. But on the other hand, that's our target market. That's the one as ambassadors of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. In Corinthians, it talks about ministry as ambassadors, ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world to Christ. It's our place that we need to be. It's as citizens of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is not a rest home, okay? And it's not assisted living. The kingdom of God is an active, youthful, vibrant place in which we all belong. There's no retirement plan there. There's nobody going to come and prepare your meals for you. The kingdom of God says, the kingdom of God is a place where all your needs are met, where you have joy, where you have peace, where you have strength. But it's also a place of reaching out. Those who fall in this list, and it's pardon me, it's not hard to see people that you might know on this list. Anger, People who are just filled with anger, filled with bitterness, outbursts of wrath. People just fly off the handle for no reason. And where did that come from? This is our target market. We have a place to belong. I have a place to belong, and that place is the kingdom of God. And there's enough room for every one of these people, for tax collectors and harlots, for people who are angry, people who are jealous, people who stir up trouble. There's a place for them in the kingdom of God. But without us to tell them, without the citizens of the kingdom of God reaching out, it's not going to happen. That's the plan. The plan is for us to take care of that business. So where does all this leave us? Well, faith in Jesus Christ, being born again, believing that Jesus died for your sins and was raised from the dead, conquering death and sin. That's the entryway. That's the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. But it doesn't stop there. If we stop there, if that's the end of the road for us, the end of the road is to say, I've got mine. You don't have enough. The kingdom of God is an active place. What does it stand for? It stands for reaching out. It stands for love. It's a place of love. It's a place of commitment. It's a place of reaching out to the hurting. I don't think anybody, this worldly place that we live is a sinful place. It's Satan's territory. But it doesn't have to stay his territory. We can redeem people out of it to a place. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to belong to that society and try to be a Christian. I want to belong to the kingdom of God and to influence that society. Did I say that right? I want to reach out. I want to help. But I've got a place to belong. I'm not all by myself. I've got you. And you've got me. And we have many of those, maybe somebody watching on the internet, maybe pastor, and those who are out today, that maybe they're part of our community. They're part of the kingdom of God. And together, we can make a difference. Together, we can make a difference. But what we have to do is to be those ambassadors. What we have to do is reach out. What we have to do is go beyond ourselves. So where does a misfit fit? In the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to share your word. Lord, I pray that the thoughts we've had, I pray that the message that I believe that you've put together for today, Lord, was one that needed to be said. And Father, I just pray for your blessing. Help each one of us to be better citizens of the kingdom of God. Help each one of us, Lord, to reach out. Help us, each one of us, Lord, to work to make a difference. Lord, it is in your power and in your strength. It's by your hand, Lord, that the kingdom of God is sustained. Lord, we choose you. Lord, we choose to make a difference in this world. We choose to rescue those from this physical world who are suffering because of their bad choices they've made. Help us, Lord, to be the vehicles that they need to find their way to the kingdom. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great week. If you need prayer, as Morris does when he's here, I'll hang around up here for a few minutes and be glad to pray with you about anything on your mind. So, in Jesus' name, go forth for the kingdom and make a difference. Amen.